Welcome to Rewatchable 26. Today we're going to be discussing Veronica Mars episodes 19, Hot Dogs, and 20, Mad, or as it's kind of stylized, M-A-D. I'm Danielle, and with me I have Mitch, Gabrielle, and Ariana. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So it's so good to be back here. We have Mitch on with us, and he actually missed the last episode with the big kiss. So I kind of wanted to start it out and get your opinion really quickly before we jump into Hot Dogs.
All right. Well, I did slap my TV in the air. Like, I went to go slap Veronica's face when that happened. So that should probably give you a hint as to how unhappy I was that she was cheating on Leo with Logan. That was not cool to me.
We were talking last time about how we all kind of forgot about Leo, but you remembered about him as it was happening, right?
Oh my God, that's exactly my first thought. I said,
okay. Interesting.
In complete and utter shock.
Huh. All right, well, I don't know how to deal with that because I'm just still coming down from the whole Logan thing, but... But yeah, no, I was interested to see if you were...
Obviously, you're the only moral person on this podcast, Mitch.
Yep. You are not fooled by Logan's puppy dog eyes and snarky face. And
no, puppy I dog agree, eyes. Mitch.
It almost sells me.
Is wrong.
Yeah. It's
except
not right.
On TV shows where it moves the plot along.
Except when it deals with Logan Echols. Okay.
Agree.
But I was right. He is Edward Cullen.
No!
No!
He is the Edward Cullen to her Jacob Black of Leo. Isn't that what I said? No. I'm pretty sure I called him Jacob Black.
No.
Just a love triangle,
Wallace
though. That's what
is the Jacob Black.
Oh, is he the Jacob Black I said? Well,
you guys are hurting me so deeply right now.
It's just the fact of a love triangle that I'm not a fan of, and I don't know. I really, really, really wish Veronica would have been a little bit smarter about her life, because as lonely as she may think she is, just wait until you backstab or betray or cheat on all these different types of people and just see where your life leads you, because right now it's not going too hot.
We're going to see where it leads her in these next episodes.
We are.
Some stuff's going down.
Oh, I love it. Some fabulous drama happens in this episode.
Oh, okay. Yes, transition. But before we transition, if you want to disagree with Mitch, or if you if you want to disagree with Mitch, or if you agree with him, or anything we just said about the kiss, or if you just want to talk to us in general, our contact info is @re_watchable. That's for Twitter. Our email is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can also comment on this post on Hypeable, and we will be refreshing them frequently to see what you guys have to say. So, just a reminder, we'll give you that information again at the end, just in case you forget it. But here we go. Let's jump into episode 19, Hot Dogs. And here is the synopsis, written by Ariana. So, it's a little snarky, but I like it. In this week's mostly irrelevant mystery, Veronica investigates dog nappings that are happening in the O-Niner neighborhoods, only to discover that the dog pound workers are stealing the pooches in order to sell them back to their wealthy owners. In more important news, Weevil is caught breaking into Lily's room, and Logan and his dad discover that Trina is being abused by her boyfriend. Veronica and Logan continue to make their love connection, and darling Deputy Leo finally gets the boot.
Oh, I wish Leo and Logan were making a love connection.
Oh, goodness.
Be interesting. I think I found a new ship.
There you go.
That's fun.
I mean, Leo's already seen Logan in his underwear after the risky business thing that happened. So.
But so have a lot of people.
Yeah, so it's not like it was anything special. It wasn't very intimate.
I guess.
I thought you were talking about strip poker.
Oh, I don't think Leo was around for that one. I don't think we were around.
Duncan was. Weevil was.
Weevil and Logan.
Let's everyone just love each other. How's that sound?
Yes, they do. They're the bro TP, remember?
Logan and Weevil are the bro TP.
Aren't the bro TP.
Won't forget that. So
So
yeah, I love Ariana's snarky voice in this. You were just like, in this week's mostly irrelevant mystery.
It was so boring. Let's talk about it. It was boring.
Yes, let's talk about that first. So, yes, I'm not a fan. I wasn't really even a fan of the girl who Veronica was trying to help. I think it was probably
kind of annoying, right?
The way that they characterized her, I think it was kind of supposed to be that way. But yeah, dog napping. Yay, nay, totally nay.
I mean, I think that there was supposed to be some sort of like undertones about class and, you know, important stuff like that. But I was just kind of over it. I did not care at all.
Yeah, same. That's basically what I had to say.
The only part I liked about it was when Veronica told Mandy that she has to stick up for herself and gain respect. Yes. Otherwise, no one's going to give it to her.
Thank God.
Otherwise, the girl's hair bugged me. Everything kind of about her bugged me. And I just didn't feel that bad for her.
Yeah.
Her hair was awful, so she is not worthy of a plot line.
Oh, I like your Pippi Longstockings. They're fun.
So fun for a high schooler.
It was funny. Like, I was just like, oh, it's cute. And she was reading Judy Blume, and I was just like, oh. I'd be friends with her. I really would. I'd be like, all right, girl, I'm going to teach you something. And I would, like, do her hair and stuff for her and be like, okay, you can read Judy Blume all you want, but here's some Harry Potter. Get some culture.
Oh, I wish you were my friend in high school.
I'm a really good hair braider. She'd have some nice fishtails, you know?
I did like that that thing that you just brought up, Gabrielle, with that line from Veronica telling her how to stick up for herself. Because I like that scene in general, because you do want that girl to stick up for herself, but at the same time, it kind of shows Veronica going a little bit overboard, I feel. So I think it shows two sides of Veronica at one time, and I really like that part. I think that's probably the part I like best about the dog napping part or mystery, aside from Leo going all deputy all over everybody's ass.
You know, funny enough, I don't even remember the girl's name that lost her dog.
Mandy. Her dog's name is Chester.
The dog's name is Chester, you remember? Mandy, yeah, though.
And her name is Mandy. Another thing I liked about it is that Veronica went outside of just taking the case and finding the dog for the girl, that she actually kind of solved this whole dog napping mystery. So I can't remember another example. I'm sure there are, where Veronica just wasn't paid and did her duty and that was it, where she actually solved like a conspiracy besides the bomb threats, I guess.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I like that.
She'd make a good real PI.
She would, and maybe someday she may. I don't know.
No comment. I'm giving you a no comment.
I'm telling you that I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You should have no commented that. Now I know she's not going to be a PI by the end of season 3. Rawr!
By the end of season 3.
She's going to be like 18 at the end of season 3.
Oh, never mind. Okay, I'm going to un-no comment you.
Stop yelling at me. All right, so any more on dog napping? Everything kind of...
No, let's move on to better things.
Yeah.
Like the will. So I feel like will plot points are always semi-important catalyst, and we kind of see it in this episode. So in terms of the will and Logan being pretty much the sole inheritor of everything from his mom, what does this mean for Logan now that he can pretty much be independent from his dad?
It means he's going to cause some ruckus, but I don't think so anymore, because this episode opened up a whole new can of worms when Aaron decided he was going to take out his anger on not Logan, but on someone affecting Logan's family member. So to Logan, that seemed to come off as, wow, my father is a protector at this point. He's using his powers for good, not evil. I could see him being a good father now.
I just don't think that Logan can spend the money yet, because what is he, 17? Does he really have access to all that cash? Like,
no.
I feel like in wills, there's generally, like, you have to be 18 to inherit the money, or there's a trust set up. And also, he has enough money from his dad and his sister and his mom right now. And, you know, they live in a nice house that I don't really see why he needs to blow all that cash.
I don't think he would. I think that Logan wouldn't want to disrespect his mother's memory by doing that, even though he easily could, with his personality, just spend that much money and be like, whatever. I just think he would like to take the gift that his mother has given him and say, all right, well, I will spend this towards something effective, like a engagement ring for Veronica.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be stupid with it. I just think it's interesting because now that he has his own money, like before, you know, if he couldn't, like, say, run away, what's he going to do? He's a kid with no money and no prospects. But now he could theoretically, like, if his dad starts hitting him again, like, he can be out of there the next day. He's got his own cash.
I mean, as much as this is a hard thing to say, I think that he could have been out of there anytime his father was beating him, regardless of maybe his mother still being around and him wanting to stick around to protect her or be around for her. But I'd say that Logan has all the right to, you know, do anything with the authorities when it comes to the beatings that he's receiving. Unfortunately, I feel that this is another one of those, hate to say it, Rihanna Chris Brown situations where you tend to go to the people who are, abuse you because in some situations there's a strange, I wouldn't say attraction, but a feelings of affection towards someone who's abusing you and that you deserve the abuse you're getting or something. So maybe that's why Logan's sticking around. I don't know. If I was him, I would have obviously tried my best to call the police or whatever, but I mean, I can thankfully say I wasn't in the same situation as him in my childhood, so I wouldn't really know why he's reacting the way he is, you know?
Are you saying...
Well, I also think it's...
I'm sorry, are you saying something like Stockholm Syndrome?
Is that not exactly like Stockholm Syndrome, because I love that syndrome. It's... I did a whole like research thing on it because I loved it. No, I do, because I just think it's so interesting. I don't like what it does, but it's when people who are being held hostage in, let's say, like a bank robbery over a couple days will begin to feel affection and want to protect the people who are their captors. And that happened at a bank in Stockholm, Sweden, where people were not wanting to turn the captors into the police anymore because they started liking the people holding the guns to their heads. And it's something about fear in the brain making you feel affection toward the person that's hurting you, almost as like a survival instinct, I think. It was that was what I came up with. So it's almost what Logan has, except for he's not really being held hostage or at gunpoint or whatever, you know?
Well, I also think it's hard to leave your family, especially when it seems from what he was saying to Trina or what Trina was saying back to him, that it started when he was younger. So it's hard to just break away, especially as we see in this episode that he does want to protect the woman in his life so much.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring that up a little bit, because I thought that was really interesting, because he supposedly, like, he doesn't like Trina at all. Should be really angry for her for what she did a couple of episodes ago. But when he found out, that she was being hurt by that guy, like, he went totally defensive.
Yeah, good point. That was odd. That was like, oh, well, you actually do care about the person who you were just saying you wanted out of your life forever.
Well, I think that's also something he inherited from Aaron, even if we don't want to admit it, because Aaron Eccles admits in this episode that his dad used to beat his mom. Or at least he tells Trina's boyfriend that, and that he could recognize the signs of abuse. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously protective of women, or he seems to be, from what he was saying. And maybe Logan got that from him, or maybe it's just instinctual for him.
Yeah, and I noticed too that, like, Trina does not seem to have the same issues with him that Logan does. So it seems to me like Aaron's, like, beating his, like, he only, like, does that to other men, even though Logan was a child, like, what he considers other men, like, he doesn't hit or beat up other women because of his mom.
What's to say he wasn't beating up Lynn, though? That could have had a lot to do with her depression. I can see that happening, too.
I mean, I think he was emotionally abusing her, but we didn't see any physical abuse on her, did we?
No, you're right. We didn't explicitly see any. I just had the strange impression that she might have been beaten, too, only because of that scene where she was drinking the wine to swallow it down, that her son was being, you know, brutally beaten by her husband in the room over. And to me, it came off as both, wow, I can't believe I'm letting this happen to my son, and I'm just glad it's not me this time around.
See, I always saw her abuse as more mental rather than physical.
Mm-hmm.
I think her staying out of it was kind of the mental abuse, and also how she was kind of strung along, even though you can kind of see that he's always cheating. So I don't know if I ever saw her being physically abused. I don't know if Aaron would ever go that far again towards women, but that was just my opinion on it.
And have you guys noticed, like, okay, so first it was, he was really protective of his mom, Logan. And then we saw it with Veronica last episode and Trina this episode. Do you think anything of that has to do with Lily and how he feels like, or how he told the counselor, like, if he had been there, he could have protected her?
Interesting.
I think so. I think maybe he was afraid of what could have happened to Veronica in last episode if he didn't reach her in time. And he doesn't really want that on his conscience.
Yeah, that could have been a definite game changer, Lily's death, in the way that he reacts towards these kind of things. Like, if he can do something, I think now he will. Because he doesn't want to feel powerless, maybe. Kind of a feeling of powerlessness. Let's move kind of on the other side of the abuse, or like protection, and let's talk about Aaron Eccles. We think he was justified in beating the crap out of, what was his name, Dylan?
Yeah, that producer. Well, the thing is, it seems like everyone else was really okay with him doing that. I wasn't sure where I sat with it because I thought that it was so brutal that it was to the extent where he could have killed him if he, you know, accidentally shoved him on the corner of a table or something, and he had murderous intents in his eyes. So to me, it wasn't that, I'm not that I condone this, but, you know, that classic father beating up the boyfriend, slapping him around a little, teaching him a good lesson. It was extremely murderous. I understand why he was doing it. I understand the severity of the situation and that he wanted to protect his daughter. But yeah. I think he could have been a little bit easier so that he wouldn't have been causing so many legal issues for himself in the future, because that probably is going to have some kind of repercussions in the end, because that guy was a producer and he's somewhat of a celebrity at that point. So to get beaten up by another celebrity, to me, spells out a lot of trouble.
Please, he was not a celebrity by any means. Didn't you hear his, like, little blurb for the thing? What did he say? He was like, oh my gosh. I wrote it down because it was so ridiculous.
Oh, his movie that he had?
Yeah, his movie.
Yeah, he was overall just...
Oh, it's about a hitman. A junkie hitman with a conscience.
He was sleazy. I didn't like anything about him. But he didn't deserve to be beaten almost to death. I was like, what?
Right. That scene always bothers me. And I think part of the reason why, at least in my opinion, I feel like we're meant to not root Aaron on, is the music that happens.
Yeah, that ironic It's Amore song going on.
Yeah. I can't decide if it's... I mean, I'm looking at it with, like, kind of all-knowing from the series, but it's kind of hard to decide if it's supposed to be ironic or if it's supposed to mean something more.
It was definitely meant to be ironic, I'd say. Wouldn't you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, that was his form of love towards Trina. Like, he's protecting her. So maybe it's just ironic that that's how he shows his love. I don't know.
To me, it was like a scene in The Godfather or, like, The Sopranos or something. It was so mob-like because that's the type of music that would play in those Italian, you know, culturally based shows. So to see that happening just, like, brought me back there.
Or like a Quentin Tarantino, maybe even too.
Yeah. Yes. Totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have to admit, maybe this is my Slytherin side coming out, but, like, I was totally on Aaron's side. I was like, yeah, go. Because that guy is a jerk. No, I feel like you really need to, like, stand up for your family. Obviously, I watch too much Game of Thrones, but, like, you have to, like, you can't let people do that. Like, that was his daughter. Logan was going to do the same thing, beat him up. And maybe he went too far, but the guy deserved it. He had it coming.
Oh, boy. He had it coming.
He only had himself to blame. If he'd been there.
It's stuck in my head now. I think of the, like, I think you sang it at some point, and now I, like, hear you singing it, and it's just stuck in my head.
I could do it again if you really care for me to.
Should that be the title of the episode, perhaps?
He had it coming.
Yes, exactly. And one last thing I wanted to say about the fight. It was this last time that I really noticed it. I didn't notice it before, but when Trina's in the background, like, sort of yelling, daddy, no. If you listen to the way that she says it and, like, how it, I don't know, how it does whatever, It sounds exactly like Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
Daddy, no!
Yes, exactly.
I found her annoying. Like, I know we're supposed to feel bad for her that this is happening, and I do, and I think it's horrible. But her character is just so annoying. Like, it's hard to feel bad for her after she doesn't believe about Logan's abuse.
No, she's really annoying. Definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, she's dating this guy who's clearly a loser, so.
So, can we just talk about the fact that a large How I Met Your Mother actress is on the show and is just so completely different from her other character? And I know you guys were talking about that in the last episode, Danielle, but I just really can't get over how different she is from Lily on How I Met Your Mother. She is a better Lily than she is a Trina, I'd say.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh my god, she just isn't good at being mean or snarky. I think she just has this amiable look to herself that I just love, and I hate to see her being mean to anyone, really.
Yeah, we bring that up a lot because it usually goes between comparing her to Lily or comparing her, like, How I Met Your Mother Lily, or comparing her to, what is it, Willow?
Mm-hmm. I think this is her. Yeah, because she's also Willow and Buffy.
See? Yes. It's one show I haven't seen yet, but I really want to. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't think she's the best as a Trina. But again, that could just be me seeing her, or even as like the girl from American Pie. So typecasting.
Oh yeah, she was in American Pie. See, that I can see because she.
Oh yeah.
On How I Met Your Mother is still kind of like, woo, party, yeah.
She's so good on How I Met Your Mother. That's why I was surprised that she's really not very good.
Yeah, it's sad. It makes me a little bit upset that she's not that good of an actress in this. She just tries to talk in the same snobby accent that Duncan's mother tries to. And it just comes off as just like, I don't know how to act as a rich person, so I'm going to stereotype them with this British accent. It's like, oh, Logan, you're so silly.
I'm sorry, the way you said that.
And that wasn't my attempt at a British accent. That's just what I interpret their attempt at a British accent to be. They're not even British, so once again, I just think it's not rocking. I don't think that she should be continuing on as Lily in the future season, so I'm hoping she doesn't come back, but I expect a no comment out of that, so let's just leave that there.
Yeah, I'm just going to no comment everything, I guess, because I don't want you to yell at me again.
I did yell at you. I'm sorry for that. I apologize. That was mean. I still love you.
Oh, thanks. I still love you.
We love each other and Veronica Mars. Love and hugs, just like that episode's title.
Love and hugs. All right. Let's move on from then Aaron Eccles. And let's do like a little thing about Leo. It's not necessarily goodbye, but we won't be seeing as much of him anymore.
It's so long.
Yeah. For now. I'm sad. I like Leo.
I know. I wish he was a regular.
I feel like he didn't get a lot of screen time.
I wish there was more girls on this show so that all the really nice guys could have cool girlfriends, too.
Oh, no. I really want someone else to be with Leo. I think he deserves someone sweet like Meg. That would be a fun
oh,
ship.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like that ship because she was the one that set Veronica and Leo up at the dance. And Meg is just my spirit animal right now. She's just fabulous. Everything she does, says, and everything. I'm just like, you know what? You're right, and Veronica's wrong. I love you.
Oh, all right.
But Meg's with Duncan right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't care. That's fine. She can date whoever she wants, as can Duncan. It's none of Veronica's business, period.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you condoning cheating now?
Oh,
or
no.
She
I thought.
Break up with Duncan?
Oh. No, you misunderstood me.
Okay.
If she wasn't dating Duncan, that is, not to go and cheat on Duncan for Leo.
Okay.
I'm just saying that Veronica's wrong in being upset at Meg for dating Duncan, and that Meg deserves all the happiness in the world, and if maybe this is not coming from the relationship with Duncan, that she should go on with Leo. But I don't think it's going to happen, because you guys just told me that he's not in a lot of episodes, which makes me really sad.
We didn't say that. We're just giving a no comment.
All right, I'll take that no comment. It gives me a glimmer of hope that I can see Meg Leo. Meg Leo, isn't that like... Wait, that sounds
Melissa
like
Leo.
Hmm?
Melissa Leo is an actress.
No, it sounds like something from, I want to say like Hercules because she's Megdra, and I feel like there's some like constellation called like Megan Leo. Am I making that up? Leo the Lion?
Yes.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
I think you're making it up.
Yes. Ariana's just like, you're
Leo
making it up. You're crazy.
is an astronomical sign and it's a constellation.
And
But
Meg is Megdra from Hercules, who's like some kind of goddess in the making when she's like with Hercules. So there you go. That's where I was coming from, I guess. I
oh,
don't
okay.
know. They're
All
just
right, got
kind
it.
of Greek. Wait, Hercules is Greek?
Yes,
All right, there we go.
Hercules.
See, look, I did make a connection there. I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
They're meant to be.
Well,
So no, go ahead, please.
oh no, I was just gonna say, I mean, the only good thing about Leo leaving is that it means Logan is staying. So,
Segue?
I just can't
Yeah.
imagine the show without Logan. Like you guys said, the show was originally intended to be. He was supposed to be just like a little minor character. It's weird to me that he was set up to be a minor character because when the first episode was airing, there was a large concentration on him being the town psychopath or whatever in that voiceover that Veronica gives right in the beginning. So to me, it's like he was always set up to be the character that he is today.
Do you like that he kind of has gotten this far, that we've gotten this far with him?
Oh yeah, because he's so
Okay.
complex and he has a lot of demons that Veronica's going to discover really soon, and I'm excited for it too because I think that it's going to cause some really awesome drama. Oh, I can't wait till we get to that part because I think I tweeted both to Danielle and Gabrielle at the same time because you guys were our super fans, and I was just like, that thing happened at the end of that episode, and you know what I'm talking about, but I expect a no comment.
And I gave it to
Yes, you did. I deserve that no comment.
But I did enjoy the Logan Veronica or love, as we marshmallows like to call it, moments in this episode.
Wait, what do you call it? What do you call love in Veronica Mars?
Love.
It's the
Because
name of the ship.
Logan, yeah, because Logan, the first two letters of Logan and the first two letters of Veronica combined make love. And so
Oh.
it's stylized as capital L, lowercase o, capital V, lowercase e. Love.
That's what that means. Oh, I thought that
Yeah.
was just a weird typo in our show notes.
No, it's me typing as like a 90s kid. Like every other letter is capitalized.
Is funny.
No, that's the name of the ship. So all of
Oh, I
the
love it.
love moments, I enjoyed them. I thought they were sweet. We have a few of them written down here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just thought they were super awkward and super realistic, with
Yeah.
how they kind of lock eyes during school, and then they're just awkward with each other, and she thinks he's ignoring her, and then he comes to her for her help, and you see that there's something there, and by the end of the episode, we have another makeout session, so that's always pleasant.
That
So
was totally an excuse. Like he could have found that guy without her help. Obviously, he just showed up to their house for
it was.
dinner, so.
I mean, he didn't know he was coming, so.
But he could have found him. He just wanted to see her again. Have a reason to go seek her out.
I'm just saying, "See You Again" by Miley Cyrus, and "The Reason" by God. What's that band that sings that? I'm the
Mubistang.
reason. There you go. I just
Mubistang.
sang both songs in my head when you were going through those, Ariana, and they're perfect for for the shit for love. I think that those are two. I can imagine some nice music videos on YouTube made to love to those, and it would be like the first glances that he gives her in the first episode, and her like, ugh, in the
I actually
beginning.
think I've come across one, at least the
I'm sure it had to be "I'm the Reason Is You,"
Hoobastank
and
song. I'm almost positive I've come across one before.
"See You
I've
Again" would
seen
be
a
like a
few.
really, really fun one, and I'm sure that they would interlude it with some of her "One Way or Another" singing, so it'd make it look like she was singing as Miley Cyrus.
Oh, goodness. Ariana, did you
So,
want to bring up this thing about Lily? Was that where you were going to go?
oh no, I didn't. I think that Gabrielle wrote that in.
Oh,
I
she
think that she
did.
wants us to do like a little dramatic monologue,
Or just
well, dialogue
Danielle.
piece. Yeah. Are you going to
Danielle
be
has the
Veronica?
best. Well, Danielle has the best imitation of Kristen Bell. But I just wanted to bring up the point that, we mentioned last episode. Like, isn't it a little awkward that they're making out when he went out with Lily and she was best friends with her?
That's what I
So this
said.
dialogue seemed to solve it, and at least for Logan. and that he resolved himself that, yes, he loved Lily, but she's dead and maybe she didn't feel the same way about him.
Yeah, and for the listeners, the dialogue we're talking about is their conversation towards the end. Is it towards the end of the episode?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, it's yeah, right before they make out.
In front of the car, right?
Before he drives her home.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So
right before they love.
Yeah, so we're thinking of that one where he's about to drive her home after seeing Aaron Eccles beat someone with a chair.
And many other things.
And I really liked that conversation because I feel like it sort of gets rid of his guilt that he shouldn't have or that he's been carrying around with him for a while. And I think it's sort of maybe cathartic, if I want to go that far. I don't know if I want to go that far, but I don't know. I think it's a really nice scene between the two of them, and it clears up the whole Lily issue, at least like as the elephant in the room.
I think he was right, though. I think that Lily definitely, like, he loved her a lot more than she loved him. I don't even know if I believe that she loved him at this point. I mean, I'm sure she really liked him, but I don't know if she did loved
in her
him.
Own way. I think, I mean, she sounds, as we're learning more about her and her potential relationship with Weevil and just how her and her parents interacted, you know, she had some issues. So I think she loved him in her own way.
I don't know. I'm still not sold that she loved him because I think she moved on to Weevil too quickly. And as much as that was, you know, a result of Logan and Yolanda, I think that she really would have had to not really care for her previous boyfriend a lot to be able to move on that quickly, because they must have been dating for about like a year at that point. So to me, it was just like, whoa, cowgirl, slow on down over there.
Well, I would even argue that the only person that she really loved, like aside from her family, was Veronica.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because to a certain extent, if the theory of her being Logan's half-sibling is correct, she is somewhat family to her. But I think that that is what's drawn them together all these years, because they've always had this inherent similarity in their personalities. And they are both really investigative. Even before Veronica started doing PI work, her and Lily just seem to really like want to know and catch up and find out everything about everyone. And not in a gossipy way necessarily, but as I'm starting to learn, I think that Lily influenced Veronica a lot, though. She influenced her to want to find out more answers about everything in life going on around her and to always kind of have the upper hand in conversations, you know?
Yeah, I kind of disagree with, I mean, I agree with her loving Veronica, and I think that love is more of a love that we see often. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Lily did love Logan, like Gabrielle said, in her own way. Because, as I said in this conversation, Lily loved guys. And Veronica knows that Lily loved Logan. So I feel like at the point when she moved on to Weevil, those two loves were kind of combating each other. To a point, like, she loved being with a guy. Like, she was probably one of those people who didn't like to be single. You know, yeah. I mean, we all kind of know those kind of people. And I see her as that. And so I see her moving on as kind of fulfilling that love that she has. Whereas I do think she loved Logan, but he kind of hurt her. And maybe she obviously didn't love her as much as he loved her.
What I'm hoping for is some legitimacy to this Weevil-Lily relationship, only from a good cutscene or two of them in the past, because, cutscene, you can tell I'm playing video games a lot, because so far we've only had fantasies that Veronica's had about them together, and there was just the one of Weevil and Lily making out on the chair, then you know, the father discovering them and then throwing Lily off of him or something and hurting and killing her, but I think that I'd feel a lot more secured in this Lily Weevil ship if I saw a legitimate background scene of them being cutesy together. And I don't know how that's going to happen because it was so secret, but I need it because it's still a lot of mystery and unresolved tension that I can't really like place, though. I just don't feel like I have a reason to care yet.
Can we please talk about Weevil? Because
yeah, let's
what
move on to
like
Weevil.
what was he doing? Why what was in that pin? I was so confused, but I feel like it holds all of the answers that we need to every mystery ever. So, discuss.
For real.
I was more shocked by the possibility of an engagement ring as he was telling Veronica at first than, ooh, a yeah. message in a pen. But the fact that he wouldn't tell Veronica what was in it made me question him.
I know. I really don't want him to be evil. And when that happened, I was like, no, no, please, no. I want it to be Duncan because he's way more boring than Weevil. And so I need him for all three seasons.
Stop
in a minute.
It. Gabrielle, please stop me if I am like giving away something because I honestly can't remember. But I feel like in that pen, I don't think it necessarily held an answer to the murder, but I feel like it was a, I don't know if I'm remembering it or just guessing, if it was a letter from Weevil to Lily that was in the pen, like around yeah. the day.
I think it was a love note.
Don't yeah. tell us. I feel like it's taking away our speculation.
And I kind of think
well,
he
are
just
we gonna
wanted
find out?
To keep it.
Are we going to ever find out what was in the pen?
I
we
honestly
don't remember.
Don't remember.
Then it was probably not that important.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a, it's not an important plot point. I think something having to do with the pen and like with him breaking into Lily's room for it is important, but not like the thing that's in the pen itself.
I also thought it was interesting how Veronica basically traded with Celeste for Weevil's freedom, that she obviously cares so much about him as a friend to go head to head with Celeste Kane and say, yes, I'll help you if you free, you know, I'll help you find your son. Maybe I know something if you free the guy who broke into your dead daughter's room.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing. I thought it was pretty strong of her to kind of stand up to Celeste and make this bargain with her. Which obviously will have ramifications at some point, as most bargains do.
But. And on that point, do we want to talk about what Celeste was saying to her and then what Keith did afterwards?
Yes. You want to take that?
Sure. Or, so yeah. Just to remind you listeners, Celeste basically said, like, I don't hate you, Veronica. I just hate what you make me think of and the fact that you represent this life that, like, everything that's wrong with my life. And then Keith, we see at the end of the episode, like, pulls some of Veronica's hair and pulls some of his hair, you know, for who knows what, we can guess. So it just seemed like an interesting reaction that he had.
I'd say that Celeste's reaction to Veronica all but confirms that Veronica really is the son, the daughter of Mr. Kane. I think that does a lot. I don't think there's any dispute anymore. And I mean, I'm excited just for, you know, Veronica's father to be taking the DNA test just as Veronica did, but actually not shredding the results, I'm assuming. I'm happy he's going to actually find out what's going on with that. But I think that there really isn't reason for speculation anymore because Celeste all but confirms right then and there that my husband was infidel with your mother and you remind me of that because you're that offspring of that relationship.
I find it interesting.
I still don't think that she knows, though.
Yeah, because Leanne Mars didn't even know. So I think it's interesting that you think that there can't be any more speculation when the person who actually had the kid doesn't know.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh. Okay, so this is just Celeste assuming that Veronica comes from, you know, that relationship, but it's
not. Right, or she could really believe it. Like, I'm not saying one way or another, I won't tell you.
Right.
But I think it would be weird if, like, she knew perfectly, but Mrs. Mars didn't know.
Yeah, because the baby did come out of Mrs. Mars.
Yeah. She might know a little bit better. Not to, like, knock your point or anything like that, but she might know a little bit better than
right.
Celeste.
It was just that assuredness that she had in her voice that convinced
right.
me.
Right.
But I can see how there still can be some contention over who's the baby daddy or whatever.
He's the baby daddy.
Is this Mari?
You are the father.
What do you guys think overall about Veronica Mars taking on not only love triangles, but Who is the Daddy episodes? Because I know a lot of people would probably complain about any show having those themes.
I'm usually one of those complainers. Like, if any show, honestly, if any show introduces pregnancy, I'm pretty much, like, within the first season or anything like that, or even, like, maybe seasons two or three, I'm out. I can't deal with it. I couldn't do Secret Life of an American Teenager because it started with that.
That's all that show is.
Yeah. So I'm usually one of the first, like, whistleblowers on these types of things, but I feel like this show does it so well that it doesn't distract away from who the characters are, and it's kind of seamlessly intertwined with their stories and, like, with their personalities that I'm okay with it.
See, to me, I feel that we were giving a false start because Veronica was, as she should be, as intent as she could about finding out who's her dad, and she ended up shredding those results, which feels like a blank tease, but all of a sudden it's coming back again, and I thought it wasn't important once that blank tease was over, so apparently it's going to be dragged out a little bit more than I hoped for, and that's where I'm going to have a quip with Veronica Mars, unfortunately.
Okay, fair enough. You know, anybody else have opinions on that? On the storylines for the paternity and stuff?
No, I'm over it. I just want to know.
You're tired of them playing with you.
Yeah.
I understand. Let's see. I think that's all that we had left for episode 19, Hot Dogs. So let's move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene of this episode was either, well, I enjoyed Leo going deputy all over, like, the shelter guy's ass. Like, he's like, no, this is a government-owned property. I can do whatever I want here. I thought it was awesome. And I also thoroughly enjoyed Veronica and Weevil's, like, opening scene together when
that
she was
tutoring
him.
That was so cute.
Him. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. So those were my two favorites. They're, like, neck and neck. Let's see. Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
So mine was when Trina was putting on her makeup to try and hide the bruises from her father, and he notices, but he doesn't let her know that he notices in the beginning, because to me, that was really intelligent of Aaron. He knew that he couldn't scare off Trina if he wanted to get the boyfriend over at the house, so he was quick on his feet enough to think, how could I get that boyfriend to come over? I know, I'll pretend that I don't notice him beating her right now, and that I'm also really interested in his story, even though I just want to beat the ever-living crap out of him. So that was nice and manipulative of him. It's not something I would have done myself, personally, because, like, I don't think I would have ever, no matter what, chosen to beat someone up as much as he did, but apples and oranges, I suppose, and for his apple, I think that he was really smart.
Yeah, it was a good thinking ahead, like you said. That was a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
Gabrielle, what was your favorite?
I really liked when Aaron Eccles goes psychotic on Dylan's butt. Just because the music was perfect, the, like, stunts and staging of it was perfect, and then the end when Logan and Veronica walk in shocked, you know, run in, and Aaron just acts completely normal, like, oh, nice to see you guys. Can you walk him to his car? It just kind of, it was perfectly timed in every way. So I loved it.
And that was your favorite too,
yeah,
Ariana,
that
right?
was my favorite too. But specifically, like, when Aaron Eccles starts grabbing the chair and, like, beating him with this, like, lawn chair.
The chair.
I thought it was so funny, but obviously I'm a horrible person, as Mitch pointed out.
You're not a horrible person. It's apples and oranges, though.
Oh, no. It was an entertaining scene.
It was. I'll give you that.
It was. It kept my attention.
That's a Maury.
Oh, gosh,
that
yeah.
was horrible.
It was so weird.
Mm.
All right. Favorite lines. Mine was towards the beginning of the episode where Veronica's talking about Logan ignoring the fact that they kissed or anything, and all she says is, "My lips, for all intents and purposes, are sealed."
Oh yeah, that's cute.
I thought it was, I don't know why I gravitated for it, but I enjoy it.
It's because of Hilary Duff, isn't it?
It could be.
My lips are sealed.
Oh, I love that version that she sings with her sister. It's so fun.
Or Mary-Kate and Ashley, Our Lips Are Sealed, the Australian movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, it's so good. Mitch, what were your favorite lines?
Mine was when Veronica was talking to the dog napper in the back of his van at school. She says, "Hey, how old are you?" He says, 18. Why? Community soap.
Yeah,
so that was cute because it was nice and witty, but it was also a nice foil to when Veronica was talking to Weevil in jail and she was like, "Oh no, community soap." But she's going to use that very fact against someone who she doesn't like. It was just so funny. I was like, this girl's so smart. I can't say it enough. I wish I had the comeback she did. Because I sit there and I think sometimes about them after. Who doesn't? Like, you always have the best comebacks after. But Veronica always has them right on the spot. Why can't I be a fictional character?
Why can't you have a writing team behind you at all times?
Sitting around slaving away, trying to find connections earlier on in the episode or the series. I know. Come on. Pick something from when I was in fifth grade and make me say it again.
Yes, there you go. Let's go back. Throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday. In fifth grade, Mitchell said. What a great comeback, right?
So good. Gabrielle, favorite line.
My favorite line comes from when Logan enters Veronica's office for her help. And this is the first time they've spoken the second time since they kissed. And she says, "Would it be weird for me to start my own drinking game? Like, I have to do a shot every time someone asks for my help." I thought it was very witty, and it was very, very true about the amount of times people ask for her help.
Be a good drinking game for the show in general.
Yeah, but for real.
Just me? I don't know. And your favorite line, Adriana?
Yeah, I loved this line. I don't even remember who said it. It was one of the suspects.
The dog napper, I think.
Was it the real dog napper? Okay, whatever his name is.
I think so, in the car, in the van, I think so.
See how much attention I paid to this storyline?
Okay.
But this was funny when he goes, "Actually, I rounded up 101 of them and some crazy lady's making a coat." I thought that was cute. 101 Dalmatians.
That was adorable.
That's so cute.
I was thinking about the 101 Dalmatians, oddly enough, the other day, and how odd of a concept that is. I don't understand how that can physically happen. I really don't. Like, poor Perita. Is that the dog's name, the girl's one? Is Pongo and Perita?
Perita, yeah.
Perita,
like, she didn't have 101.
What was the storyline, though? How did it happen?
She had, like, a normal size litter.
Like, five or six.
And then they were stolen along with a bunch of other Dalmatian puppy litters.
Uh-huh.
And so when they went to rescue them, for some reason, like, the parents, they never went to look for the parents of the other puppies. So then she ended up being like the adoptive mother of, let's say, 90 other Dalmatian puppies.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
So, yeah, no, they did not all come from her womb.
All right, there you go. Now I'm a little bit less confused because
she's doing a little bit better.
Yeah, that just I was like, she's not doing too well. She just had 101 puppies all at once.
No, it's okay.
It's like this all dog equivalent of Octomom.
Oh, no. All right, let's sideline that because let's not get into Octomom. Let's move on to episode 20, Mad. Here is the quick synopsis before we plunge into our discussion. This week on Veronica Mars, Weevil's classy friend Carmen tries to break up with her 09er boyfriend, only to have her good name slandered across the internet when he leaks an incriminating video of her licking a popsicle stick while she's in a hot tub. Meanwhile, Duncan is still missing, and Veronica and Logan decide to make a go at having a real relationship. But things come to a halt when Veronica discovers that Logan was the one providing roofies, or as they find out, GHB, at the 09er party where she was raped. So things escalate in that relationship very quickly, as we see in like 10 minutes of this episode. But before we get to discussing the rape that's been, we've been trying to figure out all season long, let's talk about Duncan first. Was anybody else kind of surprised that he was smarter than, and maybe some of us would have thought?
Yeah.
Yeah?
he's not coming off as a numbskull from all the other episodes, but all of a sudden he was like a super spy. Where in the world was Carmen Diego or whatever, the thing was? What was that? Carmen San Diego. Yeah, he's like Carmen San Diego right now.
I mean, he technically was or is one of the Tritons, so he has to have had a good GPA, but are we just thinking that he's smarter in terms of street smarts?
There's a difference between book smart and street smart, and I definitely thought he was just book smart because he has moments where, I don't know if I want to go into this, but he, for instance, gets really angry at Veronica when he shouldn't, and if he's looking to not be accused of murder, he shouldn't be yelling at someone in a murderous way, and that's not very street smart to me, but that might be because of his mental illness, so I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Well, also, let's point out the fact that while I do think he is smart, Veronica told him, whether she meant to or not, how he could go undercover. So, yes, he's smart for following what she said, but, you know, I think he would have been smarter if he came up with it on his own.
Well, it's really odd, too, because I remember thinking back to that conversation that she was having with Meg, and Veronica was, and at lunch, and she was just going on about, like, you know, I can't tell you the name, so I can't tell you anything, and then Meg's like, oh, please, and she's like, all right, let me go into this lengthy discussion of how to escape as a convict, just in case you ever need to, and I was like, oh, that's a little bit fishy, and all of a sudden, it's really important, obviously.
Yeah, and that's why I was having trouble figuring out whether or not she was saying it to him on purpose or just to make conversation, like we had discussed in the last episode.
I thought it was supposed to be to make conversation, which is a little bit too convenient to me. And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot. Like, major plot points don't just happen by accident like that, if you ask me. I think it would have had to have been, maybe it is not by accident. Maybe... What if Meg's in on it? What if Meg is like, Duncan, I'm going to help you escape. Let's ask Veronica. She'd be really good at this or something. Maybe she knew that if she directed the conversation towards PI, Veronica would eventually talk about someone escaping as a convict.
Yes.
Sorry, I was just also going to mention, we were talking about Duncan and Veronica and how Veronica inadvertently helped him, or so we think. But can we talk about how what Veronica thinks Duncan is going to do if when he finds out about Veronica and Logan, because it seems like that's one of the reasons that she wants to keep it a secret, that she wants this lovely, pun intended, romance to remain secret. So do you think that Logan is the one pushing them to take it slow or them to just be on the down low, or do you think it's Veronica pushing that?
I'll let you answer that one, Adriana, because it's a really loaded question.
At first, I definitely thought it was Veronica who wanted to keep it secret, because Logan has been known to kind of be, what's the right word? Like, a jackass?
All right.
But, I don't know, then like, when his friends came over, he wanted her to, like, go away, but she wanted to, too, which I can understand because his friends are losers. So I think it was definitely, like, a mutual thing. Like, they knew that they ran in different circles. Yeah.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I always felt like it was Veronica who wanted to take it slow just because of the fact that besides having Duncan find out, I also think that part of it was trying to keep her, I don't know another word to say this, but like street cred. Because if she's dating Logan, I feel like for some people, a strong girl who starts like dating someone, like they get looked at differently. And so I feel like I don't know if she would have as much clout with like Dick and Beaver by herself.
Dick and Beaver.
Would. Like it would change. That's their names. Dick and Beaver or Dick and Cassidy.
Dick and Beaver. That's just, that's a bad combo for names. That really is.
Well, blame the Casablanca's parents because they're brothers.
Oh my God. They weren't thinking.
Yeah.
Can we also just talk about the Casablanca's brothers real quick?
Please.
So Veronica's car breaks down in I think the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they're teasing her and being really rude to her. And Logan just kind of stands there.
I know, what a loser. Her,
but doesn't do anything. And then the end of the episode, or middle, I guess, when they're interrupted, Logan doesn't really say, hey, I actually do have someone over. It's Veronica. Like,
no, I know, he's lame.
And instead his dad has to do something. So what do we think is going on there?
He's a follower and not a leader. And if he wants to date Veronica, he needs to man up and be a leader.
And follow Spice Girl's infamous song.
Yes. God. But wait, they're brothers? I did not realize that.
Yeah,
I
mean, they are.
They haven't said anything about it as
so
of yet.
So stupidity runs in their family, obviously.
I think this is the first time we see Cassidy, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the first time we're introduced to him, at least. So it's Dick and Cassidy, but his nickname is Beaver.
The way you guys are talking about them, this really makes me worried because I do not like them at all, and I feel like they're a really bad influence on Logan. It looks like they're going to be showing up some more.
I still have a strong feeling that Dick and Logan are going to get together. And when I say a strong feeling, I mean like a super strong feeling.
The thing is, Danielle and I are so obsessed with the show that we're obsessed with every character, whether they're major or minor. So I don't really think that means anything.
Yeah, we're not really giving anything away. Or, like, I'm not really giving anything away whenever I say, like, I love Dick Casablancas. So.
Yeah, if anyone wants to go through and, like, just cut out those little segments, that'd be really funny. They can send you like
how many times you say that, Danielle?
They'd be like, scandalous. Danielle's on Veronica Mars podcast says she likes blank.
I hashtagged it to Ariana last night, and as soon as I did, I was like, wait, no, don't click on that hashtag.
Oh,
Danielle,
no.
As soon as you did that, I got all these like spam stuff
no!
on my Twitter. Yes,
that's creepy.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Never again.
I notified Twitter.
I promise, never again. I got someone who tried hitting on me, but that's about it.
Oh, that's bad.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. No more.
No more hashtag I love Dick.
Yeah, no.
Now I said it. Now people can merge all those different clips of us saying that.
Gosh. So did we think it was kind of weird that Mr. Eccles kind of saved the day? Was that out of character for him? Or do we think that it's kind of in his new character development? That we've been seeing.
Didn't you love it, Ariana? I loved it, Ariana, didn't you?
That he saved the day? Yeah, I have to admit, I kind of like Mr. Eccles now. I feel like that's a really unpopular opinion because he's like an abusive father and husband. But he was kind of cool. Like, he's been kind of cool since his wife died. It seems like that was kind of like a life-altering moment for him.
Like she was holding him back?
Like it woke him up. Like maybe I should stop being such a bad father slash, well, he can't be a husband now, but maybe he should stop being such a bad father and, you know, try and really be there for his son. So it seems like he's trying to do that in this episode.
Definitely. Yeah. It's fun. Wasn't that a fun moment the way it happened too?
Yeah.
It was like Dick and Cassidy, right? They both come into the house and they're like, come on bro, let's go surf and stuff.
What losers. Obviously they don't have girlfriends.
Mm-mm. Well, they don't need it when, you know, Dick's gonna go after Logan. He's just chasing after his boy, don't you worry. And then they see the bag and they're just like, oh, you have a girl over? And thank God Papa Eccles shows up and is just like, oh, that's Trina's. I was supposed to bring it to her. I was like, ooh, he's a good person to think ahead, because he's always on the spot, thinking of a good way to get out of situations, just like he did in Trina's boyfriend in the last episode to get him to come over. Mm-hmm. He's really good at helping out these lovers, you know.
Yeah,
Aaron Eccles is like he's like Cupid.
I think he's right though. Veronica's definitely a good influence on Logan, definitely better than the other guys. But that makes me think, like, don't you kind of feel like Veronica's too good for Logan at this point in their relationship?
I don't necessarily think so. I think they're both pretty flawed. I don't know.
Except Veronica doesn't have bum fights.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I don't know if I'd say like any of them are necessarily like the settler or the reacher, but
yeah, the settler or the reacher.
Well, that's isn't that kind of
yeah, that's what,
how it's
yeah.
always characterized. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I just like that you brought it up.
Yeah.
But if there was a settler and a reacher, Veronica would definitely be the settler and Logan would be the reacher.
That's all right. Funny that you'd say that. I'd say it's opposite because he's supposed to be higher in class than her. But I can see where you're coming from because...
But look at his friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Dick and Cassidy, oh my God.
You know, and then Logan does relate.
And look at Veronica's friends. They're cool.
Logan does relate to that bully who was mean to Mandy in the previous episode of Veronica Mars that we just covered. Because Veronica goes up to that bully and tells him, just because you're insecure and everything doesn't mean you have to make fun of this girl. Basically, you're going to die alone and friendless. And if Logan doesn't change his ways, if he doesn't start treating people like Veronica nicer, which he is, thank God, he would have ended up alone and not have been happy in life. So I think that showing affection for Veronica is starting to show that he has confidence in life again. And even though his mother was a large blow on his confidence because her death took away a lot of his personality for a while, I think that with his father treating him better and no longer beating him since the mother is dead, and that seemed to have changed Aaron, it made Logan, in effect, more confident and more willing to go out there and not become that bully and become a lover, we'll say. Not like lover like a lover, but like the ship love. That's gonna be really difficult to designate. You know that, right, guys? Yeah. It's like, why didn't the fandom think of something easier than that? That's really difficult.
Are you serious? That's really clever.
Yeah, it is clever.
Like,
I'd be fine
with Vogan, because Vogan, I can understand what I'm talking about from the get go. But love,
that's Vogan.
Vogan
or vegan?
Vegan. Oh my God, why isn't it vegan?
Yeah, no. I definitely like love.
No.
It's
like, are you a vegan? Love. That comes off great. Like.
Speaking of love and lovers.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
One of my favorite relationships in this episode or moments is when Papa Mars and Mama Fennell, as Ariana phrased it, go ballroom dancing. And they're just so cute together when they glide around the floor. Do we like this relationship? Do we feel bad for Wallace and Veronica?
No.
And having to deal with the awkwardness?
Let the parents be happy. Let them do it. Like... it's none of your business, Veronica.
They are pretty precious. And I guess if Wallace and Veronica aren't going to be lovers, as it seems like what's going on right now, then I will settle for siblings. That will work for me, too. So,
see, you're saying that they're going to be siblings. I think that that is still in question. I still, since the end of this episode, the big reveal. Can we talk about that right now with Veronica's... with the guy at Kane Software, the security man?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Because I think that kind of ruins the Papa Mars and Wallace's mom ship.
I forgot about that.
So that's why I can still see a Kim Possible, Ron Stoppable relationship happening out of Wallace and Veronica. And only because they found it so weird that they would be siblings. That's another good reason for my ship.
I know, they weren't like, oh, this is awesome, we get to live in the same house, awesome.
Yeah, they were just like, ew, you're like my best friend, we have romantic undertones, how could I be like your half-sibling?
They would be step-siblings.
Step-siblings.
Completely acceptable in soap operas.
Yes, it would be, absolutely. But
Veronica
Mars is not a soap opera, thank God.
Do you think that Clarence Weeman calling Mrs. Fennell into his office, do you think that that's going to be the end of Mars and Fennell dating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so. She is a strong woman, and I think that she will find a way around it.
I don't think she has a reason to. I think the evidence is there. I'm really sad to say it, Ariana, but I don't think that they're going to last. Because the look that she was giving the Clarence Weeman, I think that that was like, oh my God, I can't believe the man I've been dating is the father of the daughter who made my son do such a horrible thing. It was really hard to get out. The father of the daughter. Yeah, I think she's a little bit too jaded past that point, and I don't see her having a conversation with Papa Mars. I see her just ending things mysteriously and being like, I just have to go. I can't. I'm done. Why? What's the matter? I can't.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously this is going to progress and we'll find out more, but that's an interesting theory. We'll see if it pans out for you.
I just don't think we're even going to see her anymore. I'm surprised that we saw her for a second episode, quite frankly. Okay. I think we might
see her. I do. I think that I believe in her. In this relationship, I didn't realize how strongly until now.
I know.
I think that they are going to make it.
Well, I could see her coming back in like season 2 and 3 for a little bit, for like 1 or 2 episodes here and there. But it'll be relevant to a mystery, and she'll have to get the advice of her former lover, Papa Mars, to help her out with something PI-wise. And that'll make a nice awkward situation because also, you know, Veronica is still going to be hanging out with Wallace. So to have her go over to Wallace's house to hang out anymore is going to be like,
Possibly.
So,
go ahead.
A couple that I really hated in this episode, and I think we all hated, was Tad and Carmen.
Ugh.
And so, yeah, let's move on to that sort of mystery of the week.
So it wasn't really a mystery, but
right.
Like, how do we even think they got together? I mean, they just seem so different.
I mean, really, she was a freshman. Freshmen are dumb. It happens.
Yeah, you'll make mistakes. Don't you worry, girls and boys. High school will be full of really bad relationships like this Tad and Carmen one.
And I can understand her. Yeah.
Go ahead. Tad may have been putting on a front for a long time, or like, maybe just the thought of her leaving him made him turn the way he did. So who knows if he was always that way.
But if he always had the potential, that's just wrong. You shouldn't be dating anyone that has the potential to be so evil and, you know, vindictive towards you.
Well, abusers, that's how they, like, keep their wives and girlfriends from leaving, because they're so, like, bipolar. Like, one second they're so nice and he's, like, giving her mixtapes, and the next second he's like, no, you're mine, and he's controlling her, and he's a psychopath, obviously.
But thank God she didn't get that tattoo.
Yes.
What a great storyline. But, you know what, I was really curious how you guys were going to interpret how Veronica was using... Well, she wasn't... I guess it was the other way around, that Carmen was using Veronica's advice to get revenge on Tad. She was dirtying her hands. So she made Tad get a tattoo of the gay guy in this episode that was the alleged lover of Tad so that he couldn't be in the military, which is a really weird circle of storyline. But I was confused why they were using that gay character for so many different things, because at one point they made Tad bully him, but then at another point they made it so that Tad was confiding in him like they were never really at odds to get drugs. So I was
Tad was actually bullying him, so I think it was easy for Veronica and Carmen to enlist, I think Seth was his name, get revenge on Tad, because Tad was a complete jerk to him.
Oh, so Seth was in on it.
Seth was in it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because Seth then went to the computer lab and met Mac and helped do the website, you know, and did the voiceover.
And helped record that voice sound.
I think Carmen was right to ask for help, and I think that Veronica was right to set up the website and kind of threaten Tad with it. That being said, I think I would not have sent out the website. I agree with Carmen's decision.
Yeah, I thought that was a really classy move to not stoop to his level and do that. Because I think, honestly, it just makes... Like, don't you feel like that made him look so much worse than her? The fact that he posted this video of her everywhere? Because now everybody knows that he, like... He obviously, like, drugged her to get her to do that, because that's not her personality. And then he's going to show it to the world? Like, what a loser.
Yeah, he's not a nice guy. He kind of got his just desserts, though, so that's fine.
Yes, Weevil takes care of his homegirls.
Weevil takes care of his homegirls. It's like when Veronica had to get the diary of Jessica Chastain. I don't remember her character. And they went to the fashion store, and they're like, well, the bike gang, they're like, hey, is this coming in blue? And Veronica's like, guys, no white after Labor Day. I love that relationship she has with the bike gang, of all things. It's just so funny.
Yeah, and I think this was actually something that Weevil did on his own, because we did learn earlier, like, that he did like Carmen at some point, and like we said, he does take care of his own. So this one wasn't even a Veronica favor.
Yeah. No,
this was a Carmen favor.
Because he had a thing for Carmen.
He doesn't like assholes.
Yeah, I really appreciated that they had Carmen on this episode, because I think last time I was talking about how sometimes Veronica Mars is really good about doing stereotypes and sometimes it kind of falls into them. Like how Weevil's friends, they're all like gangsters. And I think it was nice to show Carmen in that she kind of is from Weevil's neighborhood, but she's obviously like really smart and, you know, going to go to college and stuff. So I thought that was nice.
It's almost West Side Story-ish.
Almost.
Except for Tad isn't as nice as Tony.
Yeah, about that. Mm-hmm.
I thought the storyline of Tad and Carmen was good for that front, Ariana, for showing the depth of Carmen's character and how the show, you know, tries not to stereotype, but I thought its main purpose was helping Veronica figure out what happened the night that she was raped.
Yes.
So with the stars and the Chinese lanterns being the same and her just having that revelation, that was really shocking to me. I wasn't expecting that when I watched it the first time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Mm-mm. Like, wasn't that a shocker? So we find out that, okay, so this is like the first real lead she has, right?
Yeah. For the
most part, yeah, because none of the O-Niners will really talk to her because they outcasted her, and obviously she can't remember anything, and Sheriff Lamb wouldn't help her, so.
So Tad said that Logan gave them to him, the roofie GHB, which is basically a roofie. Do you guys think he's telling the truth?
Uh-huh.
Or I guess, Mitch, do you think he's telling the truth?
I don't want it to be the truth, but I think it is.
I feel like he didn't have a reason not to, because nobody knows that Veronica and Logan are dating. And he really wanted to be let off of that pole. So I think Tad told the truth.
Yeah, he told the truth. I mean, Logan wasn't the one that raped her. Don't get me wrong. That's not what happened. I know that's not what happened. Love is still going on.
Okay.
Like, as much as I'm still upset by, you know, her cheating on Leo and all that, I'm a lover. I really am. But, oh my god, Logan, you are just messing up royally in your past, at least, from doing such a thing. I'm going to assume that you were just in a dark place in life because Lily was she dead
at
this
point?
She's dead. Alright, so, yeah, that's my only thing for how Logan might have justified that, and that conversation will happen, and he will say, I'm sorry, Veronica, I understand it was a mistake in my past, and I understand if you can't get over that because of the serious situation. That is, if Veronica has the guts to go up and talk to him and reveal not only that personal detail, but that she knows he was the one with those roofies, because those two major plot points are blind to her latest boyfriend, Logan, and I'm assuming he would really like to know those things. If he knew that he didn't know those things, he'd probably be really upset.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought it's heartbreaking when the last scene of this episode is him on the boat just looking so hopeful and then just being so dejected. So that combined with Veronica's revelation is just like ultimate shocker to me.
Well, you know what? He messed up because, I mean, I think that we can agree that we don't think that he was the one to actually rape her.
No.
But if he's giving away or selling roofies, okay, there's only one thing you do with them. Obviously use them to date rape women, so if you're doing this knowingly, you are a horrible, horrible, horrible human being, because it doesn't matter if you don't physically do anything. What you're basically saying is that this other person whose life you're ruining is worthless to you. So even if he didn't know what was going to happen, like that was going to happen to Veronica, like he knew something was going to happen, and that makes him horrible. You know what? He's there on the boat by himself. In my opinion.
I agree. I think she should have.
To play a devil's advocate, do you think that Tad is telling the truth, or Tad is telling the truth as he remembers it? Because, I mean, we're also thinking it was a party and they're all drinking. So did that ever register or not really?
Well, I still don't know if Tad is telling the truth.
Right.
Because he's not the most reliable human being.
But I agree with, I think it was Danielle I was just saying, or Gabrielle maybe, that it was really obvious that he had no reason to lie. He wanted to get off that pole, so why would he look to anger Veronica by saying Logan's name when he had no reason to lie, I guess. So that's why I'm just still under the impression that he remembered correctly, and that was it. That was as face value as it could have been, unfortunately.
So who do you guys think raped Veronica then?
Oh, okay. Give me a second. I'm going to think of a really good one here. You guys talk amongst yourselves, then I'll come up with one that'll blow you out of the water.
You probably are going to come up with the right answer.
That's why I have to think really hard about it. I have a really strong reputation after I got all that right with her first drug dealing boyfriend. So I have to really think hard about this.
Maybe. Let's think of all the awful people on the show. There's Sheriff Lamb.
Yeah.
He's horrid.
But he's not going to be at a no-niner party.
How do you know? Maybe he broke it up.
Maybe he broke it up. Oh. Yeah. Oh, viable, but not my 100% theory.
Then there's Dick and Cassidy, who are horrible.
No, because Dick's going to end up being Logan's lover, and Cassidy.
Yeah, and Gabrielle and Danielle like them too much, so yeah. I don't think it could be them.
Very good, very good. Keep it going. I'm liking this.
I mean, there's Tad, a bit too minor.
Tad's too minor.
He's too busy obsessing over Carmen at the party. So who else is there?
I just had a horror, gut wrenching feeling that it was Leah, but then I stopped.
No, stop.
That I don't stopped. That. That's not
no,
right.
No, it's not Leah.
Go with good guys.
It could be Duncan, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking.
He doesn't remember what happened.
Right now, Duncan is my best guess. Right there,
no,
I'm saying it.
I can stand him killing his sister accidentally, but you can't really like accidentally date rape someone.
You can't accidentally do it is my exact reason. I think that he didn't accidentally do it whatsoever, and further evidence is proven that he could have been the one that date raped because he's such good friends with Logan, therefore he would have had easy access to those roofies. Guilty as charged.
Oh, this is hurting me.
And he's going missing, and after he started yelling at Veronica, he ran away because he was like, oh my god, I just basically got really close to admitting that I raped her too, and that I almost killed her maybe during that rape or something. I don't know. But I'm just really convinced right now that it's Duncan. I think Duncan is our scapegoat for a lot of things, but I think that eventually Veronica is going to have to try and forgive Duncan because he did everything underneath, you know, maybe a trance or something from his mental illness. But it's going to be really hard for her to do that because she was raped and her best friend was killed as a result of Duncan's mental illness. So there's all my theories wrapped up into one pretty little bow for y'all. I hope I'm right, but I'm just going to say no comment from Danielle and Gabrielle. And there we go.
Yes. So let's leave it at that. No more.
No more. No more. Don't even say, I can't even hear you no comment right now. We give away too much. I can't.
So favorite scenes?
Good girl.
Thank you. Yes. Favorite scenes. I will go first. Mine was just in the beginning when Veronica was fixing her car. Partly because of the fact that she can fix her own car and I do not know how to do any of that stuff. And partly
super impressive.
I know.
For real.
Partly because of the banter between her, Dick, and the Bee. And then also partly because of the interaction between her and Logan and his knife and Apple. So I just liked it all. Mitch, favorite scene?
My favorite scene was Tad on the flagpole because Veronica is like, hey, I could leave your morning glory out for everyone to see in the schoolyard as like a threat to him. Like, I'm going to just cut that part of the duct tape out that is conveniently around your groin for you to be even more embarrassed, you scum. And then she ends up seeing, well, the camera sees the tattoo is Seth after the audience has revealed that underneath that tattoo band-aid, that's what it says. And I'm just like, oh, that's golden. And the whole school's going to see it. So at the end of the day,
sunburned.
I was going to get sunburned. That tattoo is going to get all nice and ugly. Well, he deserves it. And, well, it was pretty ugly in the first place, so. But, I think that Veronica ended up doing what Carmen couldn't. She did get revenge for Carmen because now the whole school is going to think that he loves Seth. Think about it. Like, he still got his just desserts, you know?
Yes.
Good for him. He deserved it.
Gabrielle, favorite scene?
My favorite scene is when Aaron Eccles interrupts Veronica and Logan making out, just because it's such an awkward moment for everyone. And I have never had that experience, but I thought they hit it like straight on the head that they just, it was just so awkward. And I just really appreciate awkwardness in television shows.
I felt uncomfortable for them. It was so uncomfortable.
Definitely.
And Ariana, favorite scene?
Mine was, I think, the boardwalk scenes where Carmen is like bringing him along and just like getting him totally wasted so that he does all these things for her, because I was like, yes, she's getting her revenge. So
wasted. But yeah, no, it's good. And then let's see, our last section here is favorite lines. I have two, partially because I like this first one and partially because the second one was dick. So the first one is Veronica, and she's speaking to two people in a computer lab watching Carmen's video. She says, "It's all fun and games until one of you gets my foot up your ass."
How snarky can you get? I love it.
I enjoy it so much. And then Dick's line, "Someone's got her eye on this, on that Miss White trash title." I don't know. I just enjoyed it. So that's just
mean
me.
Dick. Only forgive Dick, you once you give Logan Dick, some Dick. Sweet kisses.
Stop it. Mitch, favorite line.
When Logan was talking to Veronica at the end of the episode ish before she had a revelation, and they were still being cute and cuddly, and he says, "I had my dad's driver pick it up, full of fresh stolen parts, ready to go." He's talking about Weevil's uncle's car garage pound thing, and it was just so funny because I was just getting my car done the other day, and I was thinking of that line. I just made me chuckle. I was like, if they put stolen parts in my car, I would just kind of, I'd be appreciative. I'd be like, you know what? It's like Veronica Mars. My life is turning into that show. I'm fine with that.
Totally okay.
It was at the Honda dealership, so I think I'm good, though.
Yeah, probably. Gabrielle, favorite line?
So my favorite line is when Logan tells Veronica that he declined Dick and Beaver's invitation to go to Mexico or Tijuana that weekend.
Yeah.
And so Veronica snarkily says, "There are cheerleaders with low self-esteem available domestically," kind of shrugging off his real reason for not going, which I thought was cute.
So cute. I love that one.
Well, it seems like Beaver's going to be pretty bored the whole time when his brother is no longer interested in all those women in Mexico. He's just looking. See, Dick's just really upset because his secret boyfriend didn't want to come along. The evidence is all lining up, guys. If I'm not right at least about all this Duncan business, I know I'm right about Dick and Logan. I'm serious. I know I'm right about it. I smell it a mile away.
Okay.
I don't think you are.
Ariana's not convinced.
No comment over here.
Okay, so Ariana, my favorite line, it was kind of a throwaway line, but I definitely, like, it gave me the biggest laugh of this entire episode. I was cracking up. Like, when Tad is, he's like, "Just stay with me, just stay with me." And he, like, hands her the CD, and she's just like, "I don't want another mix." I just thought that was so funny. Like, because that means, like, I can totally see him being the guy, like, to just, like, make all these mixes for her. With The Reason, obviously. Like, The Reason and Dawson's Creek theme song.
Yes.
Maybe the Veronica Mars theme song would be on there.
Hey, no, it's too sad. He wants them to be friends always.
That's true. Tomorrow we will be friends, but today you hate me. Please forgive me, girlfriend.
Hey, I mean, he writes his own songs, so.
Yeah, that's probably what he would write.
Could definitely be.
And it's obvious that in the Veronica Mars canon, they know of that song because Veronica said, "A long time ago, we used to be friends," in that one episode, so, for Yolanda. So,
yeah,
if that song exists in Veronica Mars canon, that means he could have quite easily made that version of the song. So, maybe I just heard it from his mixtape. I think I have it. Shh, guys, don't tell.
Your secret's safe with me. I promise.
Are your lips sealed?
For all intents and purposes, my lips are sealed. All right, so we
Barbie
have
Girl, why is this on here?
We have a few, just two pieces of listener feedback that we would like to put on the show today. So, Ariana, you want to take that first one?
Yeah, this one's from Mariah Pollock, and she says, I've been waiting on pins and needles for episode 118. Squeals of delight for JTT, Juice, and most of all, the kiss. Yes, we all squealed, as you heard last week.
All of your favorite things, especially the JTT.
JTT.
What's the JTT?
Mitch, you want to take that second one there?
Sure. Mine comes from Kristen Keys, who said, so glad I found out about this podcast. I love Veronica Mars, and I'm going to watch it again with you all. How sweet. I love that people are doing that.
Yes. I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
This is really reassuring, because I always feel like people are just going to, you know, not want to watch it all over again because they're like, oh, Veronica Mars, I've already watched the whole thing. But this show is just too fabulous to not have people want to rewatch it with us.
No, marshmallows don't have that feeling. Don't
Good.
Watch as much as possible.
I don't. I sometimes watch episodes, like when I can't watch past a certain episode, I rewatch one about five times in a row because I'm just like, I need my fix. I want to watch more.
Exactly.
I mean, I may or may not have done that with the Kiss episode.
I did that with the Aaron Samuels cult episode.
Really?
Yeah, I watched that one a lot, because it just had so many fun elements to it and like different storylines, and I was just really excited to move on, but I couldn't. So I just was like, all right, well, I'll get some eye candy in the meantime.
And just as a hint to our viewers, next week we're going to be talking about the last two episodes of the season, and we're going to all try to be on. So
yes.
Expect chaos.
Yes, expect pretty chaos, much.
That'll expect... be like seven of us, right? Oh, it's going to be crazy. I'm excited.
Yeah. I can't wait till
it's going to be like a 4-hour podcast.
It's going to be insane. I can't wait till Ariana and I are found right in our Duncan theories. Even if I may be the sole.
I'm still holding out. I'm still holding out, even though Caitlin is probably right. And it was like somebody random, like the gardener or something, did it.
The butler did it. Well, okay. If you had to pick someone else, then give me one pick, Ariana, who you think is the most viable person that had done the killing and the rape. Are we going to put them together or are they separate?
I have no idea who did the rape. Not at all. I still think that Duncan accidentally killed her. If it's not Duncan, then I think that Lily had an accident. Like, I don't think anybody killed her.
But then if it was by accident, why didn't the parents just let it be as it was? Why did they have to hide it up, huh?
Because he would have been there, and if he like saw the accident happen, he would be having a fit, and so they would assume that he did it. Like, we are all assuming.
Oh, so okay. So you're saying that it was an accident, but Duncan was also having... Well,
I'm saying it was an accident either way, and it was either Duncan accidentally did it to her, or Lily accidentally did it to herself. Like, she accidentally fell by the pool or something.
And they had to protect their son because they knew it was going to look like he did it because he's epileptic and because he's had violent accidents before.
Yeah. Oh. Or they just didn't know that he didn't do it.
Yes, because he was too much in his blackout mode that he was into.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Oh. All right. I'm still on Duncan did it by accident, but I'm really interested to see what happens. And I can't wait until we get up to our episode 122, because that's going to be the big reveal. And it better have like a good denouement where we learn a lot more about what Veronica's acting like after she finds out the big reveal. I hope that it's not just like, and next time on season two. That'd be really frustrating.
Yeah. And I really hope that when people watch, whether it's you guys or the listeners, that I get tweeted like, oh my gods, or something like that. It doesn't have to be anything spoilery, but yes. I would appreciate getting those reactions. And also, I feel like we should have a Mitch scorecard for everybody to have, and then we can just like keep track, and like even listeners can keep track of like things that you've gotten right or things that you were totally wrong on.
I know.
It'd be fun.
Like, we could talk about, like, here, I can try and list them off for anyone who wants to keep a scorecard right now. You ready? The one was that the Papa Mars Wallace mom relationship is now over, and the other was that both the rapist and the murderer were Duncan, but he did the murder by accident, but the rape, I think he did on purpose. And what was another one? Oh, that eventually, this one's way off in the distance, like season three, that Logan and Dick are going to get together. Was there another one that I had this episode?
No, I think that's it. So where can they tweet us the scorecard?
Funny you should ask, Ariana.
You can all tweet us at re_watchable. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can comment on this post on Hypeable. We always look at the comments. Like I said, I'm at work, religiously refreshing the page for more comments. So
I love them.
Please do. And if you like us, only if you like us, please, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think of the show. And by you reviewing it, you're giving someone else a chance to find us. So it'd be great for everybody.
And if you give us a 5-star review, we will win you a teddy bear through some sort of demonstration of ring tossing ability.
Aww.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm game for that.
Just like Veronica wants.
I'm a really good ring tosser, so I think that we have something set up here.
Just like we all want.
Yes. But yeah. So we will see you again next time for the last 2 episodes of the season. And we cannot wait. I am so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go watch those right now, I feel.
I can do that. I can totally do that.
We're going to know now. Oh my God.
I'm going to do that right now. I'm so excited. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm jealous of myself in 2 hours' time that knows this, but I'm also not jealous of myself because then I have less Veronica Mars to watch.
Yes.
I'll be doing that at midnight tonight, so expect tweets.
I'm going to create a TARDIS so I can continually go back and not know what I'm talking about, so I can rewatch these 2 episodes again and again and again and always react to it, because I think I'm really going to enjoy them that much.
I think so, too.
Okay, let's sign off so we can go do it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so I'm Danielle.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Gabrielle.
And I'm Mitch, and I'm excited to watch.
And we're going to go watch now, so we'll see you later. Bye, everybody.